It's Boss Barrel Radio, and this week we are talking about PlayStation 4 information, Pokemon leaks, and the latest Nintendo Direct. I am Griff Hoffman, and with me is Jeff Brewer, the voice of reason.
I think you are giving me more credit than I deserve.
Jeff Brewer, the voice of unreason.
I think it'd be in the case of Pokemon, at least, I'm probably the voice of fandom.
Yes. The people's angry, champ.
Angry fanboys.
The people's machamp.
Nice. Very nice.
Hey, Jeff.
So, yeah. Hey.
Hey.
What's going on?
Just sitting here, recording a podcast. Having a Goose Island India Pale Ale.
Sounds delicious.
Yeah, pretty good.
You should check out the latest Pokemon leak that I sent to your Gmail inbox.
Okay.
It's a minor leak, but I think you'll enjoy it.
Is it Farfetch related? My favorite Pokemon?
No. It's not an actual Pokemon. Uh-oh. It's just continuing the game's derpy theme.
Okay. So today has been a day full of Pokemon information and misinformation alike.
Yes. It's been, I don't know, I feel like I've had a pretty good run with weeding through the fakes. I feel like we've gotten past the fakes and now we're starting to get to the real information.
I've seen the picture of Hiker Craig before, yes.
Oh, you've seen Hiker Craig?
Yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah. He just wants to fight you with his Pokemon and then sell you hemp-based products. I feel like Hiker Craig should be the splash image for this podcast.
Okay, done.
Yeah, so there's been a lot of Pokemon business going on because a couple people went to stores and got them to break street date.
That's right.
Get on the internet, get on their Instagrams and their Twitters and their 4chans and their Reddit and their, I don't know, Y-Frogs.
Whatever madeupwords.com you like to go to get your social information, yeah.
Been going to them all. I'm in so deep.
I was frantically F5-ing NeoGaf all day.
I'm currently F5-ing.
F5 away.
I'm in a thread where somebody... This is a dark chapter of my life because I dare to venture over to 4chan go to their Pokemon board. And there's a guy from 2Channel who's in the board and they're just out of him because he's Japanese. That's 4chan for you.
Yep. I like the filter of NeoGaf.
You're a wise man. I want the immediacy of 4chan. I know that NeoGaf will have it like moments later.
Yeah.
But it's too ordered. I feel like when I get information, I love the feeling of just filtering through the chaos.
Right.
And like identifying the nuggets that could be true.
I like that too through NeoGaf. However, when I'm at work, I dare not go onto a 4chan website.
What was the thing that you Googled at work last time that we discussed?
When I was trying to spell ladies' names?
Yeah, what did you end up searching for?
I don't know. I don't remember specifically, but like I can't spell women's names or men's names for that matter. And I'm like, I'll look up like, how do you spell genie? Like the person's name genie, and I'll type it in. Like I don't know. And then it'll show up like I'm like J-E-A-N-I-E. I'll give that a try. And it's like, nope, that's the porn star way to spell it. And I'm like, oh, son of a bitch.
Anytime that the name ends in an I, you will probably get a porn star.
It's yeah, I'm kind of well, and then my problem is too, it's like someone's like, yeah, my name's Margaret, and I'm like, okay, you spell that Margrette, and it's like, uh-huh. No, not that way. There's too many, that's too fancy.
You just spelled Magrette.
Vinaigrette.
Oh man. Yeah, so there's been a lot of business coming out on the Pokemans. All the starters finally came out, and they're pretty derpy.
Yeah, they are underwhelming.
Yeah, I've always liked the Frog Ninja, Greninja. I think he's pretty cool. With the tongue scarf.
See that I haven't seen the for real confirmed fake not fake image of what he's supposed to look like in the last evolution. If he has a tongue scarf or if he doesn't. He has neck bubbles.
See, this is why you got to go. You have to venture into the darkness that is 4chan.
No.
They have so many hilarious, like, images where they deconstruct everything, and like, oh, yeah, someone will have like taken something and just marked it up in MS Paint. Like,
yep,
they'll like draw outlines around the feet and be like, you can clearly see that, right, somebody used a Photoshop scrubbing tool at, yeah, point X.
It's like JFK conspiracy, like, you know, the second gunman, like,
it totally is.
You know, room full of strings and newspaper clippings that somebody did on the internet, but using MS Paint and Pokemon.
The best are the ones where somebody like pulls it all together and it's like a giant collage, and you just imagine like the psychopathic guy who, like, you know, from like conspiracy theory or whatever, yeah, with all the stuff on his wall.
Yeah. Mel Gibson is right there. He's working through these. He's got a filing cabinets full of starter Pokemon information.
It's really ridiculous, but it's so much fun. And I always think it's hilarious when somebody has all that shit and clearly they're just wrong.
Yeah.
But they just want to believe so bad. And I feel like with Pokemon, a good general rule of thumb is, like, if it looks, like, if at first glance you're like, wow, that looks so stupid, it can't be real, then it's definitely real.
Absolutely. Like, the when the whole leaking was happening today, and it was like, okay, this is the final evolution of Chespin, the grass starter, but it's from the back. Like, he's standing in the floor screen. And they're like, he's got green spikes and like weird fucking dumb mech arms. And they're like, nope, fake. And it's like, then you sent me the image of what he looks like. You're like, nope, that's 100% accurate.
Well, the one that you're talking about was actually a faked image. But the real thing was even derpier. It was like the most goofy looking thing in the world. And it was completely not what anyone expected. And that's how you know, I feel like, that you found something real. Sure. If it's just like so ridiculous,
right,
that nobody could even dream it up.
I think the more that I spend time gazing into the shell of Chestnut, I'm really liking that character design.
Oh, dude, I totally understand. It's like, it's Stockholm Syndrome. Like, you're stuck with it.
Well, yeah, that's a great point. Like, just kind of lurking through the NeoGAF Pokemon board all day long, like, from when the fox spoke, was it the Fennekin Ender, the Dullfox?
Uh-huh.
When that thing dropped and people were like, fuck, that's not real. That thing looks retarded. And then everyone's like, oh, poop face. That's the poopiest poop anybody's ever pooped out of a poop. And then literally 2 hours later, no new news. It's just posts of people like, yeah, I like Dullfox. I like it. Okay, number one choice. It's a great type. I really like everything about this. This is, they actually couldn't have made a better character design.
And it's really hilarious to watch that happen. It literally, like you said, it happens over a series of hours. And I feel like it's like me in the 2DS. It's like you've committed yourself to the brand. Whatever happens, you're just going to have to learn to live with it somehow. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like there's like a trajectory you can trace. It's like pre-order canceled. You know, oh my fucking god, this is the worst design I've ever seen. then as people are starting to come around, the one guy's like, I don't know about you guys, but actually I've always liked the way it looked.
I think it's more of just like people are wanting more information, and they're like, well, I guess this is all we got, so I like this one now.
Yeah, I think so. My thing, I do think these are kind of bad, but of course, it's not that big a deal. It's just Pokemon, and it's like, you know, they're going to be fun anyway. But yeah, people were like hating so hard on the ninja when it first leaked, and now that's like everyone's favorite, and they're like, oh, the ninja's so cool.
What type is it? I forget.
It's water dark.
Water dark. Okay.
Yeah, which has been done before a couple of times, but yeah, they can find some cool new stuff for it.
Which is,
go ahead.
I was gonna say it's really funny too, going back to like the enjoying the whole day of rumors, when it was just so vehemently, like, aggressively shut down any argument that's like, it's anything but water fighting because this has already been confirmed.
I know. Yeah, it's so stupid. The funny thing is, the guy who originally leaked this stuff, like way back in the day, he actually had water dark and grass fighting, and the community was like, no, that's wrong, dude, we heard something different. So he literally was like, oh, I must have seen it wrong, it must be this. So it's actually really funny to find out that it was the other way the whole time,
right?
But yeah. One cool thing about what I've seen of the new guys so far, it looks like they're all going to have like their own new signature move.
Yes.
So hopefully that'll make them interesting.
Right.
But we'll have to see.
I would hope so.
Yeah. I'm hoping that they do more to, because there's a lot of stuff kind of going around that there might not be as many guys this time around.
New
I'm hoping that they,
yeah.
I'm hoping that they do more to make each one like unique.
For sure.
Yeah. There've been some really goofy ones that came out.
Yes, I agree. For example, as you were saying, like some uniqueness pushed onto each character. Like I was hoping, this is my own stupid theory here, is the images that were coming out is like the frog that has the tongue scarf. I was like, oh, that should be the lady version. And then the frog that has like the huge amount of like foam beard, that should be the dude version.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Because they already are doing that where it's like they have different forms for male and female for certain ones.
Yeah, they've been doing that, I think, for a while. But yeah, they have a couple this generation that they've already confirmed are doing that.
Cat thing.
Cat thing and the dog lion.
Dumb thing. Dog thing. Oh yeah, the dog, the fire lion.
Yeah, I never really liked that one. I think it looks really stupid.
Yeah.
That's just me.
I actually kind of like it.
Oh, you do? Yeah. The cub version of it is okay, but I don't like the evolved version. I think it just looks, it's got this weird derpiness about it, like I said. And I usually like super derpy Pokemon, but like I said, like I really like Dunsparce and
Combi.
Yeah, Combi's pretty cool. Do you remember what was his name? You remember the flat one? Oh no, you didn't play the fifth generation, right?
Black and White. I played Black and White for like the first two gyms.
Did you get the flat electric ground one? I'm gonna find it. It's called Stunfisk. I'm gonna send you the link to it. It's the funniest looking thing, and I love it.
Huh.
But these guys, I don't know. It's just the adjustment period, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, I mean, and as I was saying in a text to you earlier today, like if they are recycling a bunch of old Pokemon, I'm kind of okay with that at this point, simply because I think that there have been a lot of great designs in the past, and you know, one of the things that I'm really nostalgic about is when I'm playing my Pokemon, my like the new Pokemon game, I'm like, man, I would just wish I had my original starter guy with fucking Farfetch'd here and, you know, this like Kadabra or something along my side too, like my old buddies. And it seems like in this game, they're like, okay, yeah, we're giving you these new ones and some popular ones from the old one and some garbage trash and then everything that you kind of wanted from before too. So
yeah, I feel like
working out really well in my favor.
Yeah, you are definitely being catered to pretty hard, especially like with the announcement of not one but two mega evolutions for Charizard.
Yeah, and then potentially multiple mega evolutions for each, you know,
starter.
Yeah,
it's looking like no, actually, based on what leakers have said. They said that with Bulbasaur and Squirtle, they didn't get like X and Y stones. They just got regular stones. So for whatever reason, just Charizard, because people like it better. And they also just gave it Fire Dragon because people have been bitching about that just for years.
Since they've said it.
Yeah, pretty much.
You're another Fire Dragon. This is the worst game ever.
People are still bitching about it. They're angry that it's black instead of red, and they're angry. They're really angry.
Sigh.
The thing is, I'm like both inside, like I'm both a rational human being who understands that it's ridiculous, but I'm also like a fanboy who does react emotionally to this stuff and is like, oh fuck, I wish they didn't have so many mega evolutions, and
yeah,
it's gonna break the game and all this stuff. But we'll have to see.
My biggest like self-defeating obstacle with Pokemon is when I get into playing the game, like I never want to play it competitively against somebody else who has bought a Pokemon cartridge and we have to look each other in the face. Like I never want to get to that point in my life as an adult who's almost, you know, nearly 30 or whatever.
Why would you ever feel any shame in that?
I don't know. I mean,
you need to go to a convention and then battle like a 10-year-old who destroys you.
I've been there when I was that age, and I don't ever. I played Yu-Gi-Oh in high school, and I never ever want to have that experience again.
I did as well.
So I'm set. What I what I want, though, is when I look at those, like, the game comes out and I'm like, man, I want to have the best Pokemons ever. And this happened to me in Ni No Kuni, too, where I was like, I want to have the best team that's, like, going to steamroll everything and be super powerful and super awesome and have the best affinities to types and set me up for the most success at the end of the game and also look kind of cool. And then, like, I get too far down that hole where I'm like, okay, I'll, you know, I just got to bear with these guys for a little while longer, and then I got to find this guy that's really late game and then grind him up a gazillion times over, but I don't really like him, but is really good, or her, like, this Pokemon's really good, but I don't really like it, but it's really good. And then this guy, like, I really like the look of this one, and I think it's a cool Pokemon, but I'm never going to use a defensive Pokemon because I'm playing single player, so why?
You can use defensive Pokemon in single player. See, that's like completely alien to my strategy. And even in like my like week-long sojourn into competitive battling where I just use like an action replay to hack a bunch of Pokemon together, I like to use like the weird guys. Like the guys who I really am very much turned off by like Pokemon that are just objectively strong. I think that's probably part of why I don't like Mega Evolution, because it's like, I don't want my guy to just steamroll the opposition. I want him to be, like, quirky and weird.
Okay.
I want to have to, like, use him in a weird kind of tactical way, or, like I'm more of an underdog story kind of guy.
Okay.
So, like, I like the challenge. I like feeling outclassed, or, like, having to think really hard and work with, like, a subpar team, or, like, maybe focus on unity more than I focus on strength, that kind of thing. So I think in that way, I feel like I'm being somewhat left behind by like the extreme, you know, rock god Ampharos and other stuff.
But with Pokemon, though, when you're playing the single player in this case, like potentially you can make any Pokemon great if you just sink the time into it.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
because Pokemon is a fucked up, terrible game design, like you kind of have to make those decisions early. Like,
well, it's gotten easier to make them later, but I understand what you're saying. There's like a time commitment involved.
Sure, and there is a finite amount of battles that you can have that yield a good amount of experience from them. So
yeah, although they address that to some degree in the most recent generation with the Shaking Grass.
I'm unfamiliar with the Shaking Grass.
So what they did was they had this one Pokemon, Audino, was its name, and if the way you would know it was there is like after every like 1,000 steps or something.
Oh, sure.
The grass would shake, and you could, if you ran into the shaking patch of grass, you'd encounter either that or like another rare Pokemon. But usually it was that, and it gave you like, you know, like 5 times the experience of a normal battle, or like some obscene amount of experience, and you could just level really fast.
Huh.
They also completely revamped the leveling system in the fifth generation. They made it a lot easier to raise your dudes.
Really?
But I mean, you still have to sink a lot of time in. But they made it so that you'd, like the amount of experience you get doesn't just completely drop off to nothing, which is how it used to work.
Right. But. And I also play the games where, like, I think this is the corruption of the anime, like, you know, like I play the game where I'm like, I want to have my team that I start with and I end with, you know, but then you end up like dumping out all your best friends for, you know, these like hard ass dudes that you find later in the game that are over leveled and like super powerful, and you're like, yep, okay, just take these guys into battle because yeah they're way better.
See, I want my friends from the beginning, or like I'll know, like going into a lot of games, like I knew everything, like I knew all the Pokemon that were released or whatever. So I would just like be like, I want this weird looking dude.
Right.
And then I would go from there.
Yeah. Like it just bums me out where it's like Zigzagoon is a cool fucking Pokemon. But
you can play as Zigzagoon.
I can't. He's not good enough. You're off the team. Hit the bench, Zigzagoon.
Dude, in my first game, Jigglypuff was like my MVP and he's a terrible Pokemon.
That's your own fault.
I had taught it like Water Gun or some other scrub move. And
see,
was like using.
That's my other problem. It's like I can't do that. Like I can't do that like smart Pokemon training where you're like, I will teach Pikachu Poison Tail or something where you're like, you it no. That's no. That's what Gary does. I'm not a Gary.
You're more of an Ash, just get through on sheer willpower alone.
Exactly, yeah. Believe you gotta believe.
See, for me, I don't know. I guess I've sunk a lot more time into the games than you have from the sound of things, just in terms of like learning all the arcane mechanics and you know, having a sense of move sets and stuff. They have made them a little more accessible, though. Like in the fifth generation, when you used you know, the TMs?
Yeah.
When you use a TM in the fifth generation, like you can just use it again.
Oh.
They were like, okay, it's stupid that you lose your TM when you use it. So they're like, just use it infinitely.
Well, it's smart. It's like, okay, so let's avoid everybody just having their fucking Pokemon holding TMs and trading that garbage and everybody just cheesing the system.
Yeah, and it also, like, it just makes it so you don't have to commit to, like, your scrubby guy that you got, you know, on Route 1 or whatever.
Right.
Your friggin' Zigzagoon, you know, that you taught, like, Waterfall to or something, and now you have to bring it with you.
Yep. Yeah, I accidentally gave this Doduo a dig. Now it just have to have it with me forever.
Yeah. So yeah, I think for people like you who given what you've described about like how you want to play the game, I think it'll probably be pretty much perfect because like you get to have your old friends that you remember so well and you really like, and any of them can be like super badass if you just give them the stone, and they can just probably like sweep an entire team if they want to.
Maybe.
So you'll probably have a great time.
Yeah.
I'm just like personally, because I enjoy the actual like mechanics of it so much for whatever reason, I'm worried about that element. But sure. I recognize that I represent an extreme niche minority.
Yeah. But that, aren't you like interested in like how these megas change the end game? Like now that, you know, since we found out that you can only have one mega stone at one time and activate it, and it can only, you can do it at any time in the battle, like you, the mind games become so much more interesting.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it opens up a lot of cool possibilities. What annoys me is that, and again, this is just coming from an enthusiast perspective, I'm irritated that they, in my opinion, wasted some of them on guys that were already really, really strong.
Okay.
Like, you know Garchomp?
Yes.
The Landshark?
Sure.
The Landshark did not need another.
Oh, yeah. I like that Pokemon. That was a cool one.
That thing was banned to Ubers for a week. Okay, so this is, again, super, super niche, whatever. In the Pokemon metagame, there are tiers, just like in fighting games.
Oh, so this is like the Monster Reborn?
What's this?
The Yu-Gi-Oh card, Monster Reborn?
Yeah, pretty much, yes. So there's a tier called Ubers, which is basically like shit that you can't use in standard play. There's the Uber tier, the standard or the overused tier, underused, rarely used, and never used. And yeah, like the standard tier is what everyone uses like in friendly competitive battles. If you go to like a Nintendo event, then the rules are completely different. But usually, like if people are battling in the real world, that's the rule set they follow. Yeah, Garchomp was banned to Ubers because it was so powerful for like a long, long time. And for it to get a mega evolution is just like annoying to someone like me who wants the little guys. Like, I was really excited when some of the weak dudes got a mega evolution. I'm like, oh, that's cool. But if strong dudes can get it too, I'm bummed about it. Like, I don't want Mewtwo to get even stronger.
Two times as stronger.
Mewtwo too.
Well, you got X and Y now.
Yes, you do. And X is, the X version looks so dumb to me.
Oh, really?
It's like Mewtwo except with more lines on it.
He looks like a Sharpay. Like he's got, like somebody needs to go to Mewtwo X and clean its folds out. Otherwise, it's gonna get a skin infection.
Doesn't it just look like they put a couple more lines on it? It's like, oh, it's got some stretch marks.
Yeah. Yep. It looks like an Eddie Murphy movie. Mewtwo is playing its fat mother in Big Mama's Mewtwo house.
Compare that to the Y version. The Y version was like just straight up Super Saiyan.
Yeah, totally. Yep.
Yeah, so anyway, I don't want to go on and on about my Pokemon concerns, because they really are not representative of how most people are going to experience the game. And they just released figures that it is like the most pre-ordered 3DS game ever.
Oh, yeah. I'm totally surprised that one thread was on the top of NeoGAF all day long.
Dude, people love Pokemon.
Yeah.
Freaking insanity.
I am so ready.
I am definitely ready to use that giant rabbit dude that I sent you. He looks so trolly.
He's terrible.
Yeah. So that's cool. I think we covered pretty much everything that was released. All the starters, like we said, are out. Mm-hmm.
Unofficially, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Nintendo is being Nintendo and like trying to send out cease and desist letters to leakers, which is hilarious.
Sure. Or so internet message boards say.
I mean, so they say, but like some of the most popular people involved in leaks have gotten cease and desist before from Nintendo.
Oh, okay.
So I would not be surprised if Nintendo did this. Hmm. Like they, as we know from their YouTube shenanigans, they don't really believe in fair use. Sure. So anytime that anyone uses their media in any way, if they don't like it or if they notice it, they can crack down in an instant. Yeah.
I just hope this spurs them to push more information out there quickly.
I think they're probably done with what they're going to give us. I'm surprised they even gave us what they did.
Obviously, the game is gold. It's already set. It's ready to go. It's in stores. Like, why not just start putting that shit out there and saying, hey, yo, this is what they are.
Because Nintendo is weird. Let me give you an example of how weird Nintendo is. Okay, so when the last generation came out, but you know how they always have like the like event Pokemon, like your Mew analog, like the one that is like hidden in the game's code, but you have to like get a special item that you couldn't ordinarily find in the game to get it.
Yeah.
They had a couple of those and they literally like would not acknowledge their existence for years. They announced one of them when they announced Black and White 2, and it was in the other game the whole time.
Whoa.
And there was even like events in the game that you could do with this thing. And they put out official guides, like Pokedexes, that didn't have the Pokemon in it, even though it was there.
Hmm.
So they're weird about that shit.
I don't see why I don't understand why there's not the leak community just like ripping the code part of this and like pulling out all the sprite data and all that shit and like and dissecting all that side of it.
Well, they would, but the 3DS hasn't been hacked yet. So
oh, yeah, you're right. You're right.
They can't do that. But they did that with the other games, for sure.
Yeah.
Because they had, like, figured out, like, which Pokemon were going to get, like, form changes in the Black 2 and White 2 already.
Yeah.
They had figured out a lot of crazy shit. So they can't do that this time.
So you're telling me there's too many Ds for it to be hacked?
Yes. The extra two Ds are for dastardly, dastardly destructive. Decryption. Decryption. Yes.
Nice.
Yeah. So they would do that, but they can't. And it's kind of cool. I mean, hopefully there'll be some shit that nobody discovers before launch, because it's fun to have new stuff.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yep. Speaking of other crazy Nintendo stuff, just earlier this week in October, there was a new Nintendo Direct.
Yes, there was. It was like 2 days ago, yesterday? I can't even remember now.
It was on the
first. That's yesterday. Wow. It feels like an age ago.
Right? You went through the trenches of the new Pokemon releases, and now...
It really has. I've spent far too much time looking at threads about Pokemon. I really should just cut myself off completely and get back to my life.
Yep.
So there was a Nintendo Direct, and I thought the biggest takeaway from that is Mario 3D World looks freaking awesome now.
Oh my god, I know it does, doesn't it?
Well, how did they turn that around so much? It's like, what a difference an awesome trailer makes.
Sure, for sure. Great music.
Oh my god, I love it.
Brilliant, like, showcasing levels that seem fun instead of just like, yeah, there's fucking pipes everywhere, right?
Yeah, it looked awesome. I couldn't believe all the creativity.
Right. And even the like the stupid Mario gimmick of like, oh, new hats and suits and shit, like it that caught me. I'm like, it's Kuribo's ice skate.
And the thing that turned you into doubles of yourself?
Yes.
That's super cool. I'm excited to see what they did with that. And they even copied like the shadow levels, but nobody can be mad at them for that because it just looks so awesome.
Yeah, it does. It looks really cool.
Yeah, I'm so excited about that game now. It went from being like the tiniest blip on my radar to like super high up there now.
Yeah.
Did you notice how? Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say that is the biggest contender in reasons why I need to own a Wii U now.
Oh, totally. I mean, Wonderful 101 is fun, but I don't think it's enough to sell you on one. And I don't think that the 2D Mario platformer is either. But this is looking like you said, the reason.
Right. And like this as might we were actually saying earlier, like music in games is very important to me. And when that stupid jazz fucking Mario music was playing through the trailer, I was like, yes, this is just like Sticker Star. Like, I love this.
I'm so glad they're sticking with the fully orchestrated theme that they brought in with Galaxy. That is like so key to those games. It just makes them feel like 10 times more epic.
You're right.
I love it. Worked for Ni No Kuni.
It sure did, man.
Did you notice in the trailer how they showed like an overworld and you actually like move around the overworld in 3D and there's okay, you should check it out again because it looks really like quirky and weird. It's sort of like it's not quite a hub world and it's not quite like a world map, but it's just like a flat plane and you can walk around on it, and like the levels are little buildings on the plane, and you can like walk. I don't know how to describe it exactly, but it looks like the actual level select area will be like explorable and have secrets in it and shit. Oh, it's just cool. Looking really cool. I'm getting super excited about it.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm really pumped about that. That looked awesome.
Sure, I am too. And other things they showed that were not nearly as exciting were stupid Wii Party.
Yes, which has the ridiculous looking horizontal stand.
Oh my god. Horizontal stand. What the fuck?
I don't know, man. They had the stupidest looking games too. It was like scoop your thing into the water.
They made the Mexicans throw the ball into the cup game, but for the Wii U.
I honestly wasn't even like paying attention during that part of the thing because I was just like, okay, like now I can get out of bed or whatever.
Right. They're like, yeah, and also for the Wii U Wii Party is the Stick and Hoop 1700s trotted around town.
Have you played this game called Press the A Button a lot of times?
Well, yes, I've played Mario Party.
Yeah, that's what Wii Party basically is. It's like Mario Party without character.
Sure, yep, yeah.
And less variety.
And then they did the absolutely necessary bow-bow, so sorry we can't announce this game right now. It's been pushed back because we need to spend more time on it. Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze.
Yeah, I feel like it's like if you're going to delay the game that I'm not even that excited about because it's just like a direct sequel to a platformer that I wasn't that I liked but what didn't like knock my socks off. It's like, come on, get your shit together.
Right, or just don't talk about it, okay? Because really, who is waiting for Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze?
I don't know, man. Some people were like, yeah, it's going to be so much better now. I'm so excited. Like,
was that
Marin
saying that?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, man. I'm so excited for the Tropical Freeze.
I don't understand it. Like, I have it for the 3DS. I have the first one. It's a fun game. I like it. It's a good platformer, but it completely pales in comparison to Mario.
Right. They blow it out of the water. They start the show with the showstopper of Mario 3D World, and then they're like, oh yeah, this other 3D platformer that's kind of not as good as this. We got to work more on it. See you later. Sorry.
No mention of Mario Kart though. I'm sure they'll delay that one too.
Yeah, right. Yeah, really, no mention of that. I didn't catch that. But you can still get your Mario fix somewhere else, and that is at the Olympics.
Were you paying attention to that trailer?
Because
I certainly wasn't.
Oh, I was lapping it up. Man, you can ice skate.
All right.
That's all I remember.
You can probably do some other shit. Can you do like the biathlon? Does Mario shoot a gun?
He shoots a turnip. The only thing that I remember about that part was Iwata saying, you can collect medals, and when you win events, it posts your score on a scoreboard that is like a worldwide scoreboard that will show what you're, and then you will represent the country you're playing in. So,
oh, that's kind of cool, I guess.
Yeah, it is kind of cool. Like, insert French judge joke here.
That is also quite a throwback. I feel like this audience would not understand what you're saying there. You're referring to the ice dancing in 2004?
Sure. Yeah.
I don't know, 2008?
Right. Okay, insert Chinese gymnast joke here.
There you go.
Insert Jamaican bobsled team joke here.
Sadly, that one might even be less resonant than the French judge.
Insert Jewish hostage situation. Oh wait,
now we're going really, really out of the purview of most of the people here.
Whatever, man. Everybody saw the Matt, or what's his name, Ben Affleck Thriller, award winning movie.
Geely.
Yep. Yes. Yep. Daredevil.
Oh, I can't remember what it's called. That one about Iran.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, that one.
Smoking Aces.
Batman.
Yes. What else do you? What else was shown?
They show those Wii remotes, which I kind of need in my life, even though I really can't buy them. It's too superfluous even for me, but they are adorable.
I did really, I agree, but I did really think it was funny where they're like, and these Wii Plus controllers for your Nintendo Wii U. And it's like, oh God, your branding is so confusing.
It's the worst. Yeah, they were so cute though. They had the little suspenders, or rather the overall buttons where the plus and minus button.
Yep, yep.
Sold.
I've still got on the Wii U that I have here, the Wii that I have here, the controller that I, or controllers that we have, I bought like the condom controller that has like the motion plus that connects on the bottom, then you wrap the thing around the top.
Yeah.
Except I ripped that part off it, so now there's just this like skeletal lump sticking off the bottom of it.
I had the Wii motion plus add-on, and then I found a game actually on sale at Target for $15 that had a Wii Remote Plus in it. So I bought the game for $15. Then I went to GameStop with the unopened game and asked to trade the unopened game in for used game credit. And they told me no.
Because it was unopened.
Because it was unopened. And I was like, can I just open it and give it to you? And they were like, not in front of me.
Yep. Ends the rules.
It doesn't make sense.
You stole that copy out of a truck.
Except if I leave the store and then walk back in with it opened, they can accept it.
It's a different copy now.
My brain.
It's Pikmin mission mode. You can do things competitively because people give a shit about that.
Yep. Sonic's and Smash Brothers. Did you mention that?
No. Yeah. No.
Yeah. Surprising, precisely no one.
Right.
I wrote down that Ubisoft is still making Wii U games, everyone. Yes, they're the only ones.
Batman something.
Oh, yeah.
Rayman something. Any game that ends in man.
Yeah. The man's world.
Yeah.
But I'm going to make the next direct for Nintendo, and it's going to open with This is a Man's World.
You've got Sonic Lost Worlds, which you seem to be still into.
Yeah, looks friggin' awesome to me. Yeah. I mean, I'm my grain of salt is ready, but
right. I was really into it. I was really into it until they were like, Sonic can go anywhere, and then Sonic was like ice skating, and I was like, oh fuck, shit, man. Like,
what animal will he turn into this time?
Megavolve into.
don't even say that.
Let's tap.
People were saying that the third stage of Chespin kind of looks like Sonic, and he even has a move called like Spiky Shell or something.
Oh, okay. He's a werehog.
Yes. There's like 8,000 gotta go fast.
just been loves chili dogs.
Did you watch the Sonic cartoon when you were younger?
Yeah, of course.
Both of the Sonic cartoons?
Yep.
Okay, good. Did you prefer one over the other, and which one?
I like the one where he liked chili dogs.
That would be both of them.
And okay, then I like both of them. I guess I don't remember clearly enough.
There was the one that was like super like comedic and lighthearted, and then there was the one that had like a story.
I think I like the one that was comedic.
Okay.
Any one where there was the French Antoine dude and then like Hot Chick Rosie or whatever, and then Sonic
like
was always talking about hot dogs, that's the one that I liked.
Oh, okay, that's the good one.
Okay.
Okay, the bad one is the one that has the chicken dude and the drill face guy, and they're always there. They're the bad Nicks.
I don't think I've seen that one.
Okay, you're not missing much.
Okay.
Except for a meme about Sonic telling tales that if someone tries to touch you in a bad place, that's no good.
I do feel like that has influenced my life to this day, where I just really like chili dogs.
If you take away one lesson from that show, I feel like that is the best lesson you could possibly take away.
The best lesson is you can eat a chili dog in two bites.
I like how in both of those shows, which aired concurrently and were done by different studios and like had completely different audience targets, Jaleel White just voiced Sonic.
Oh, really?
Yes.
The job's a job. You think he was just ad-libbing like chili dog jokes the entire time? I can sure go for some chili dogs. Fuck, wrong show.
He didn't even realize he was being recorded. He just really, really likes chili dogs.
He just drove up to a drive-thru of a Sonic's and was trying to order chili dogs. And so he was
hiding, two chili dogs.
Hiding in the back seat with a tape recorder.
I believe so.
Okay. Well, Lost Worlds will have all that and more.
I hope so. If they bring Jaleel White on as a voice actor, I feel like that'll be the moment that Sonic will be saved.
Agreed. Yep. And then when there's an explicit, when Sonic releases his sex tape with a human.
I think that happened in Sonic 2006.
Aww.
So Sonic, they showed Phoenix Wright.
Oh, yeah.
They talked about that. They were like, hey, it's a game. It's coming
out.
That's
when I fell asleep.
A demo. Oh, you fell asleep during it?
Yeah, they said Phoenix Wright, and I was like...
You don't like Phoenix Wright, right?
No, right.
That's too bad. You have a hard time getting behind something where, like, it should make sense, and it doesn't.
Yes.
I feel like.
Yeah, that's, unless it's totally okay with not making sense.
Mm-hmm.
But
I feel like it is, but I can understand maybe you went into it not... wanting it to not make sense.
The problem was too, like, I wasn't there on the ground floor. Like, you know, Phoenix Wright is a thing now, and like when I went back and tried to play it in like 2010, I was like, I'll start at the beginning and learn about, you know, use my legal sense to play this Phoenix Wright game about being an attorney and upholding justice. And it's like, this is so wrong.
Yeah, I could see if you brought that mindset in, it would not end well.
And then there's like the pixel hunt bullshit of like clicky around the screen to find the clues and whatever, and I'm like, this is the worst part ever.
Yeah, I could see that being troublesome. It doesn't really bother me. I don't mind pixel hunts. I like old timey adventure games, so that's cool by me. But I totally understand. And I think it was particularly onerous in the first titles.
Sure.
Which were adapted from GBA.
Yeah. And the courtroom parts were fun.
Yeah.
It's just comparatively when you're not in the courtroom, it's like, whoa, snooze fest, man.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, those first couple, because they ported them all from GBA, and it was kind of an awkward transition, but yeah I understand. Yeah, so that was announced. They were like, hey, Nintendo likes indies now.
Yeah.
We're going to go to Indiecade. They didn't say anything else beyond that. They were just like, we're just going to go.
We'll be there.
They're updating their Street Pass relays. So that's kind of cool, I guess.
Yeah, you can get six people out of that lonely-ass fucking tube.
Get your fedora chair.
Oh, my God. Get my fedora chair.
You're back into Animal Crossing?
Yeah, you're reading that there. And the announcement that Animal Crossing will have more downloadable garbage as long as you keep playing it, one of which of the things is a fedora chair. Whatever the fuck is that?
I wonder if it's like a chair that is made of a fedora or a chair with fedoras on it. Or
you can only dream. Per your Nintendo rule, it will be the worst choice of all of them.
I think that's more of a Game Freak rule than a Nintendo rule. Game Freak is really known for like creating expectations and then just destroying them.
Well, I think that no matter what it is, you know, it doesn't really matter because it's a fedora chair.
Also, I just looked at it and it is literally a fedora that is a chair.
Did you just sit on a fedora?
Yes.
Great.
I actually kind of need this in my life. That's amazing.
What else do we have?
They showed a Bravely Default trailer,
that's when I checked out.
The thing is, though, that you can do Japanese, they said.
That's an iPhone game, right?
No, it was originally 3DS.
That's an N-Gage game, right?
Yeah.
That's a game for the TI-86, right?
I believe it made its premiere on Virtual Boy.
That game is available on abacuses and microwaves near you, right?
Were you just checking out because it was so JRPG tropey or because of the shitty voice acting? Because
it looked like hot fucking garbage. Like, I was watching it and the frame rate looked like shit on the video. Characters looked like jankety ass, like blocky, terrible pixel designs. Everything looked like that really awkward 2004 era Square game design where you're like, we don't know if we want to go cartoony or real, so we'll kind of toe the line between both and just make everything dark. And not like dark like metal, but like poorly lit. And then all the characters had dumb voices and they were saying words that aren't words. And I was just like, this is the worst.
People were really excited about this game coming over. It was very well received in Japan. I don't know. I feel like that trailer
desperate
was not
times, man.
I feel like that trailer, I'm hoping at least, was not the best showcase of what is good about the game. The way I've heard the game sold is like, you got your job system. Everyone loves job systems.
Mm-hmm.
Plays a lot like FF5 with a couple wrinkles. You know, there's a plot, whatever. But you got your jobs.
Right.
I don't know. I'm pretty excited about it. Did you ever play the game that it is a spiritual successor to, which is Four Heroes of Light for the DS?
No, I didn't.
Oh, I did. That was the one that looked like a storybook, kind of.
Okay. Sounds cool.
You remember it?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay. I played that game and I really loved it. And it had a very forgettable story, but it was kind of like in the vein of like Dragon Quest in that the story didn't really matter. And it had a lot of really cool things, like things that might sound irritating. Like you couldn't choose who you targeted. You would just choose to attack, but it followed rules. And there's all these weird little quirks like that. And like, you had a job system where you could wear different crowns and they would, you could, or like literally like different hats, and they would change your physical appearance and your job, and they were all so adorable. And the jobs are really cool.
I feel like what you're saying right now is when I hear people saying that Breath of Fire Dragon's Quarter is the best Breath of Fire game ever.
I haven't played. I've only played Breath of Fire 3, and that was a long time ago. I freaking love that game.
Yeah. Yes.
I know Dragon Quarter is like a huge departure.
Yeah.
There's like a timer in that game, isn't there?
It's like a poop.
A poop?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what that game is like.
Don't you have like a certain number of turns you can take for the entire game?
I think so. And like you can't actually target anything. And like the battle system is completely banana sideways. Like
All I know is I really loved Four Heroes of Light. I thought it was a super cool game. Huh. And the same studio that made that is making Default. So I have to give it a shot.
All right.
I'll tell you about it.
Okay,
I'll tell you if that guy's pompadour is as ridiculous. Ring a bell.
That's
which I think is a hilarious name.
Yeah. Yep. Oh boy. Well, other highly contentious Nintendo announcements, Zelda for the 3DS, A Link Between Worlds.
Yep.
Was detailed in this announcement.
Yeah, and they spent like 3 minutes of the Nintendo Direct talking about how the guy in the item rental store is not the same as Nabbit.
Lavio's shop is different.
I love how he was like, the people who worked on Mario work in the desk next to the people who worked at Zelda. And it was clear from his description that he was going to like either fire or murder them all.
To me, that was like the lowest point of any low Nintendo that has ever existed before, where they're like, you know what? All our fucking shit's the same. Okay? The worlds aren't connecting, despite how much you want them to. Despite how much Smash Brothers has ruined everything forever, it's not going to happen here.
I just felt like I said, like he was just passive-aggressively like telling those people that they were all fired. Like, I would not be surprised if right after the Direct finished airing, the people who were responsible for Ravio just jumped off a building.
Yeah.
Rather than face Shigeru Miyamoto's random employee kidnapping.
Oh, whatever. Miyamoto wouldn't do anything. He's just fucking in his gardens playing Pikmin 3 somewhere. Just buying all the copies of Pikmin 3.
He would upend the tea table, but the tea table would be covered with sharp knives. which would then impale the offending parties.
Yeah, but then they'd also kill the people who are making good games on the floor.
He'd find a way around it.
Okay.
He'd innovate his way out of that mission. Yeah, so in Zelda, you can rent items now, I guess. What did you think about that?
At first, I was confused because I didn't really know what the hell they were saying. But then Iwata spelled it out saying, okay, you go to the item shop, and you rent your item, and you take it to your dungeon that is like the dungeon that you're supposed to use that item in. Then you go through that dungeon with that item, you use it, and then you beat the dungeon, and then you own that item. Like, that is so cool. Because it disrupts the pattern.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I like that it disrupts the pattern, but it sounds kind of lame to me. The way that it, because I read a little clarification about it, and I guess the way that it works is you can either buy the item at like a high price, you know, some exorbitant amount, or you can rent it. And when you rent it, you just keep it until you die. But the thing is, like, I don't remember the last time I died in a Zelda game.
Because they're not like Zelda games, so I'll be dying a lot.
I was gonna say they're not really hard anymore, but I guess if you die a lot, I feel like it would work a lot better than if you just don't die.
I think what's more appealing though is it's like, you know, instead of when you play your Zelda game and you're like, okay, I left the house and now I need to go to this location straight away because this is the first dungeon. It says, no, you can go to any dungeon you want. Like, I find that to be super interesting.
I like that. I guess I worry that it'll cheapen the reward of traversing the dungeon. Because, like, if there's not something to be gained from entering the dungeon, why do I go there? Except you get like MacGuffin number one, you know? Like, does anyone really care about like collecting the 7 crystals?
Yeah.
No, they want the fucking hookshot, you know?
So essentially this is like the Animal Crossing meets like Zelda. Like you just are in debt for all these fucking items and you need to dig yourself out of this hole.
Pretty much.
Like beating all these dungeons.
But it's also like Animal Crossing in that, like, when you get the items, there's no penalty. Like, it's like, okay, you're in debt, but who gives a shit? Like, like you can, as long as you don't die, you just keep them indefinitely. You can just take them all.
But you can only rent one at a time.
No, you can, well, it sounded like you can just have them all.
Oh, huh.
Maybe if you can rent one at a time, that'd be a little more interesting. That would make for an interesting type of progression, I feel like, if you could just hold one.
That's what I thought I gleaned from that Nintendo Direct was that you could rent one item at a time, but then you could have multiple ones if you purchase them. But, you know, maybe that's the incorrect way to infer that. But
well, there is an interview with Aonuma, and I think he talked about it. I'm going to take a quick look.
Okay.
It looks like... words. No, I can't find it right now. So we'll have to see how that plays out. It's definitely an interesting twist, for sure.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
We'll see. Everyone's bitching about Zelda all the time.
Of course.
How it needs to change. So this is good. This, you know, this can only cause a new discussion.
Right. And what people should be bitching about with Nintendo is, who fucking cares about Kirby?
People were really excited about Kirby.
Yeah. The Year of Pink.
I was not excited about Kirby.
No, me either. Fuck Kirby.
If it was like another Epic Yarn game, I'd be all over it.
Oh, but, yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, I don't want like generic Kirby platformer number 8.
Yeah.
Give me the DS game where you could have 10 Kirbys.
Yeah, shit exactly. That. Right. Kirby like should Canvas. Be a vehicle for nonsense, not straightforward Kirby weirdness.
Yeah, I think it's definitely at its best when it's bizarre. Like Canvas Curse. Did you play that?
No.
Oh, for real? That was a great game. That was like the first good DS game.
I think the Kirby pinball game was the last Kirby game I played.
Was that GBA?
I think so. Yep.
Okay, I had Kirby Pinball was for
DS.
Game Boy.
Oh,
the original Kirby Pinball was for Game Boy because I had
been
it
out of it for a while.
I loved Dreamland, like the Game Boy games.
Oh yeah, me too. Yep,
I played 1 and 2. Freaking absolutely love those games. Mm-hmm. Could never figure out how to get all the little rainbow pieces.
Yep, and Kirby Music is great. Kirby Music.
That is very true. I don't know if that's HAL Laboratory that does that, but they make some awesome music.
Yeah.
It's so like bouncy and just unbelievably happy.
It is, and it tickles that nostalgic bone where I'm like, oh my gosh, Kirby from the Game Boy. Meh.
Yeah, I don't think it serves Kirby very well though. Like when he enters the 2.5th dimension.
Yeah,
he just looks generic.
Yep, right in between that 3DS and 2DS.
Yeah, so basically 2DS. So they showed that. What else did they show? Anything else?
I think that's really all they showed for that Nintendo Direct.
Yeah, that is all they showed, and surprisingly they didn't talk about their update to the Wii U, which I gushed about, even though when the dust settled it actually wasn't that exciting. But they actually updated the Wii U to allow you to play Wii games on the gamepad, which at first sounded amazing.
Uh-huh.
But as it turns out, you can't use the gamepad buttons to play them.
So it's just a screen.
Yeah, it's just a screen. Well, it's a screen and also a sensor bar, because there is a sensor bar on the Wii U gamepad.
Oh, that's so kind of cool.
It is kind of cool. You can point a Wiimote at... The funny thing is, they're like, make sure you're not pointing it at anywhere near the other sensor bar, because they're both going to be on.
Wait.
So you have...
Can you play virtual console games on it?
Yes. So you have no reason to pay a dollar to upgrade.
So you can play a virtual console game on your Wii tablet controller, but you have to use the other controller.
Correct.
Ugh.
if you so much as touch a button on the gamepad, they're like, the gamepad could not be used in Wii mode.
You almost had me, Nintendo. Yet again.
You could rebuy those virtual console games.
Well, tell me how.
If and when they're released, you could pay like a couple dollars to upgrade them.
Hmm. I would love to. Yeah.
I know you want to.
I do.
Yeah, so that happened. I thought that's pretty cool. I booted up Xenoblade and a couple other games, and they look really nice because on the tablet, they're in native resolution.
Oh, cool.
Which is really cool.
So it's like really dense fucking pixels.
Yeah, like Xenoblade doesn't look like a chunky, disgusting mess anymore.
You boot it up and you're like, that's what $75 looks like.
Well, I didn't pay $75 for Xenoblade because I already had it.
Right. But now you do. For... Now you're like, oh, it's aged so well.
It's like a fine wine.
Mm.
All it needed was this incremental firmware update for the Wii U to finally find its true beauty. Yeah, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Hey, I gotta take a pause here.
Yeah, sure.
To empty my bladder.
Go ahead.
Okay, so I'll be back. We'll be back.
Okay.
Okay. Pause.
Okay, I'm gonna do that.
Okay, break's over. Tell me about Dublade.
Dublade looks freaking awesome, and I want it in life, and there's a picture of it. And it looks so cool. Apparently it is a defensive wall.
Mm.
Also, Aerodactyl is gonna get a mega evolution. And that's so cool.
It's cool?
I mean, I think so. You?
Yes.
The guy found an Aerodactyl. delight, which is a very, it's quite a mouthful.
I want a far-fetched delight. Far-fetched.
I hope so.
Delight.
Apparently, you are more or less handed a far-fetched, so I'm keeping my fingers crossed. It's definitely not evolving.
Right, yeah.
But it might mega evolve.
I've heard rumors of mega evolution, and god damn it, do I want that.
Apparently the guy who's playing right now is going to be up late tonight, so I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
Awesome.
That some new shit will come out while I sleep.
Hopefully.
Been so deep.
Me too, man. Me too. I just want to go to sleep and wake up in Pokemon.
Yep.
I'm in a bad place right now.
You're going to be like found. You're going to be sitting in front of the computer, bloodshot eyes. Jen's going to come over and be like, Griffin, you need to eat.
No, it's more likely like I'm going to end up dropping like $250 to get Pokemon Emerald and an SP with a backlight. And like, I'm just going to be playing that in the closet. I'm not going to go to work. I'm just like, oh, I remember this.
You're going to be like, I need to get my surfing Pikachu. Get him all the way up to the new generation. Yeah, I'm super pumped. I want to see Mega Aerodactyl before the night is up.
Me too.
All right, so what were we talking about?
We had finished talking about the Nintendo Direct and the other Nintendo-related news of okay. Wii U screenplay or whatever.
Yeah, so summarize, 3DS still doing gangbusters. Wii U still not redeemed, although Mario looks so good.
It sure does. Jeff, you have listed on here some PlayStation information.
Not too much, really, but there are a couple things. Just that they showed off the PS4 dev kit at the Eurogamer Expo, which, by the way, sounds like a super cool event that I want to go to because I really like Eurogamer a lot.
Huh.
But anyway, and they're still using the XMB, and it was a cool little thing. Did you happen to watch it by any chance or no?
No, I didn't. But I remember on one of the conferences, like Shuhei, like, I think, was it TGS or was it Gamescom, when he was like on the couch going through the XMB thing, the PlayStation 4 front end, after he finished playing Killzone, and he like
then he tweeted
it all, and then it like and then he went up into the XMB after all that. And
I didn't realize that they were keeping the XMB, because I guess people freaking love that thing on the internet. I don't really know why.
I like the XMB.
You like it?
Yeah.
I think it's okay. Like it's perfectly decent. I think they can trim it back quite a bit. Yeah, that's definitely true. It would really benefit from having, like, if all of the shit on the XMB fit on one 1080p display, I think that'd be perfect.
Yep.
Like, if you didn't have to go left and right beyond the edge of the screen at all.
That'd be perfect.
I don't recall if that were, I feel like that might have actually been the case on the updated XMB, but I'll have to rewatch the video, but that's cool, I guess. I guess a lot of people are excited about that. Not too much else about the PS4. I found it interesting. Sony made a statement about the Vita, basically saying that the only reason it's still here is because of dedicated fans.
Yeah.
And they had like considered shelving it numerous times, but wow. Yeah, but not anymore.
Okay, good.
So that was surprising to hear them be so frank about it.
Huh.
I was pretty shocked about that. I also watched a talk given, I didn't write this in the document, but I watched a talk given by Shahid. I can't remember the guy's name, Shahid like Hadma or something. He's this one guy, and he is like the reason that there are so many indies coming to Vita right now. Like,
oh, awesome.
his job is to get these people to do this, and like he pours his entire soul into it. Like he is like working day and night, you know, like establishing rapport. He told all these stories about how like Vlambeer, the guys who made Ridiculous Fishing.
Yeah.
Like he was talking about how he was friends with Vlambeer, and like he was talking to Vlambeer like, you know, like he had like an email exchange going with them, and then he's talking about how like he asked them to be Sony exclusive, and they were like, hell yeah. And like just like all these things, like how he's like completely evangelized the platform for so many people. And like,
did he also was he responsible for them changing the name from Mercenary or Wasteland Kings to Nuclear Throne?
I don't think he had anything to do with that. I think that had to do with another game called Mercenary Kings that was coming out.
Yeah.
But it's just interesting to hear how this one dude, pretty much is like why all the indies are coming to Vita right now. And I guess to a lesser degree has played a role in them coming to PS3.
Okay.
And he's just like such a passionate dude. And I thought it was really cool just to hear someone like him talk. And I guess it highlights how important people like that are, but also how shaky this whole like change that we see with Sony is. Like, yeah, if he were to go away, then maybe the indies would go too.
Well, I don't know. I mean, there's other people dealing with stuff too, like Shane Bettenhausen and Adam Boyes.
Yeah, for sure. But it's just interesting to think about how few people are responsible for like the things that I am really excited about with Sony going forward.
Yeah.
And how like it just so happened that the stars aligned for this stuff to occur. So that was really cool. I'd highly recommend checking the talk out. It was a very interesting talk.
Okay. What should I search for? It's the Gamer Expo or no?
Yeah, EGX I think is what it with it. Yeah. It's PlayStation Indie Showcase EGX 2013.
Okay. I bet it's on their YouTube page or something.
Yeah, if you just search Shahid EGX, you'll get it right there.
Okay.
So that was a really cool talk. Not too much happening otherwise on that front. I mean, were there any big PS4 related announcements or Xbone related announcements that you can recall?
The biggest one that I posted on here was PlayStation 3 update, like 4.5 or whatever it is. The newest update now has brings automatic updating to all users, not just PS Plus users.
Yeah.
So when there is an update for your system firmware, it'll happen automatically overnight.
Also known as the best feature ever.
Yes. Yeah. However, I mean, some people... Okay, I shouldn't get into this. So the system updates will happen, but PlayStation Plus still retains the trophy updating and the game patching and the game syncing with the cloud.
So the anti-piracy, repeated stability updates,
yes,
which disable firmware exploits,
yes,
will happen automatically, but your game syncing and everything else will not.
Right. So
that makes
sense. Where it's like now when you turn on your PlayStation, it is more than likely ready to go instead of, you know, before where it's like, well, I can't watch my Netflix because I got a thing to click on.
Yeah, that actually just happened to Jessica today, because I guess the update must have just come out today. She turned it on.
Yeah.
And she was like,
yep,
Jeff, I can't watch Netflix.
Yeah.
Whenever a firmware, like, I feel like she is the perfect test of what a normal person will do when they encounter a firmware update, which is just get enraged.
Yep. Same thing happened with Jen. I just walked her through how to set the update up, and, you know, it was fine, but it's like, dude.
Yeah. People hate them.
Yep.
So it's great that that's happening automatically now. I had a couple of Xbox One things, namely just that a lot of games have been confirmed to be sub 1080p, which is really no big surprise, but it just shows that we're really, it's just another reminder to temper your expectations about the coming generation. The games that in question were Rise, which is running at 900p, and Battlefield 4 is running at 720p. So basically, you know, don't expect the world next generation.
Oh, well, and it's also still right at the beginning, so, you know.
Yeah. Chill. No full optimization yet. Cross-generation, blah, blah, blah.
Exactly.
But yeah, again, you know, as we get closer to the next generation, I'm sure a lot of this kind of shit will be coming out. A lot of theory crafting and all kinds of nonsense, but we'll see what happens when that things actually drop. I'm getting excited.
Me too, man. Like, we are approaching the one-month mark.
I know, it's so soon.
Yep. I'm gonna get Pokemon. It's gonna carry me into that next gen.
It will. Pokemon will take us there.
Yep. Or beyond. And then
beyond Two Souls.
Yep.
Oh, I thought you meant Pokemon would take us there or
and beyond.
I thought you were punning it up there.
No. Like, no, for no, real, man. Beyond Two Souls is coming out next week, and I don't think.
Are you gonna grab it?
It's coming to me. Yeah.
Oh, well, your game flying it.
Yeah,
I'll be excited to hear your impressions. I was just talking, actually, I was explaining David Cage to Jessica how he does. My explanation of him was as follows: he does really interesting things in games, in terms of like gameplay, but in terms of narrative, he needs a lot of work. It would help if he hired a writer.
Yeah, Yep.
So you'll have to tell me how the plot is for Beyond.
Yeah. Space Matrix monsters are not a good thing.
Some people on Facebook who don't play games were like really excited about Beyond. I think because it has a female protagonist.
Yeah. Everybody loves Ellen Page.
They do. There were people who were like, hey, do I have to like buy a PlayStation now? Like, do I have to play video games now? This game sounds so cool. So I guess non-gamers have an interest, at least.
Yeah. So, yeah. Anything else with Sony? I don't really think so. So I guess that just leaves the Steam announcement that we half-heartedly predicted.
Yes, they announced. I don't think anyone could have predicted quite what came out of it, though.
Yeah.
Except for the fact that it vaguely looks like a cat when you turn it upside down.
Oh, man.
You were on the money with that one. You are like the Steam prognosticator.
That's right. I'm the Nostradamus of Steam announcements.
Nostradamus. Okay. Yeah, so they announced a controller, and it is the weirdest controller I've ever seen.
Right.
What do you think of that thing?
It looks like a speaker, but I think that it's easy to write it off and shit on it really quickly. We're like, there's no sticks and buttons on that thing. Take that. I'm going to drag that behind my pickup truck.
Did you just associate game controllers with that guy in Laramie?
Yes.
You monster.
But from all accounts and from what they're talking about it in that announcement, it sounds cool. Like the haptic feedback with, you know, the contextual moving of your fingers across the iPod Gen 1 and 2 wheel. Like,
it really is that.
to give you that sort of a feeling while you're doing that sounds cool. And I mean, the thing that I think that sounds cool, but the thing that seems like the worst idea is where they're like, yeah, there's no buttons except for the touchscreen and all the buttons that are in the worst places ever. So you can play Portal.
Yeah. It sounds so odd to me that to even conceive of a controller that could approximate mouse input. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't understand it. Like, we really should give it a fair shake. And it immediately sounds so suspect, but we'll have to see.
Yeah.
And again, a lot of developers, like, Tommy Refenius, I think his name is, the one half
from
of
Meat Boy.
Team Meat. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. The guy from Team Meat whose name you don't instantly know. Mm-hmm. he went and tested it, and he wrote a lengthy blog post about it. And the funny thing is, I was like, when I heard it announced, I was like, oh, wait, there's no way I can play Spelunky on this. It doesn't have a D-pad. Yeah. And lo and behold, he tested it with Spelunky. And he said it worked. So, you know, if he says it works and he loves Spelunky,
sure.
And then, you know, I'm willing to give it a shot and see, you know, maybe it's got potential. Yeah. But it's definitely weird.
Yeah. The thing that I like the most about it is it looks fat as fuck. And
you like them big?
Oh, yeah. I want a controller that I can sink my hands into, you know. I was actually thinking about this the other day when I was playing Grand Theft Auto 5 on the 360. And I was like, 360 controller is a good controller. Like, there's a lot of meat to it. I can put my hands into it. I can, you know, it's comfortable. But it's so stiff with how close I need to keep my, like, wrists together, and it doesn't bend out like the PS3, where it's kind of like a more open grip. Yeah. And it's big, but it's also really confined. It's like kind of cramped. So this controller kind of looks like it might be in the middle, where it's like a big fat controller that you can just, you know, it's like a fucking turkey. Like, you pick up this whole loaf of controller and you're like, ugh.
I'm mostly like, with every controller, I feel like the thing that I always go to is the D-pad.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, the D-pad for me is like the metric by which a controller lives or dies.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm kind of not so keen on the Xbox controller, because, you know, D-pad is shit. So I'm very skeptical about this controller, but
yeah.
I'm excited for it to be good.
I agree. I think that the D-pad is the standard for any controller design, but since it's a Steam controller that's like not technically a console or what have you, like, I can, and also them just saying, yeah, there's no fucking D-pad on it, like, it's like, okay, of course, now you're in a league of your own.
Yeah. I mean, you can't put it in the same space as, you know, a Nintendo controller. Mm-hmm. Where every game that's built, you know, is gonna in some way leverage that D-pad.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I'm willing to give them a pass on that, as long as in the games where I need D-pad light control, I can get it. Because yeah. when I use the 360 controller, I don't feel like I can get it, and I can't play Spelunky with that thing because it's just like D-pad is just so stupid.
Yep. So it's a stupid D-pad.
Very stupid.
Can't throw a fireball.
You can't throw a fireball, no. Nope. I think it'll be better though on the Steam controller because there's nothing to push down. There's nothing to roll around.
Right.
So you won't get mistaken inputs.
Yeah. Well, and if they're saying like, okay, we know haptic feedback is a thing with controllers and we know you want that resistance feeling when you're touching stuff, and we've taken that as a cardinal a bullet point into our design of our device, then they will probably do good things with it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't see them phoning it in. I mean, it's just, why would they even take this venture if they were going to just do a really shitty controller? Why? I mean, you know, it could always, again, just be another Ouya, but sure. I don't think so. I don't think Valve is that naive. I don't think they're going to put, you know, design over function.
Right, and sure. And even if it is just some hot trash controller of like, you know, we crap this thing out and it works okay, like, I'm sure that a week later it'll be, and you can use all your other controllers with it too.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I mean, Valve is like that.
Yeah, you can definitely still use your 360 controller with most games. I mean, you know, not most games, but any game that is compatible is still going to be compatible.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's definitely interesting. It definitely was not what I was expecting to see, but that's, you know, that's exciting.
Right.
I think if it just had analog sticks, then nobody would give a shit. So it's definitely a bit of an X factor. I mean, they have very lofty goals with it if they want to let you play an RTS with a controller.
Sure. Yep.
Yeah. So I want to see how that pans out, but it's pretty exciting.
It certainly is. That's all we really have for news here, I think.
Yeah, so, I suppose so.
Do you want to talk about what you've been playing, Jeff?
Sure. I think I mentioned this on a previous podcast, but I've been playing a game that just came out last week called Eldritch. And it is based, it describes itself as a survival sim, which is really not quite the right description. It's more like a Spelunky style roguelike action game, where you are descending floors in multiple levels. In fact, in the last level, you actually ascend floors, but it's the same idea. You've got, yeah, I know it's shocking. You've got like procedurally generated environments that you descend through, and there's three levels in each environment. And you know, each environment has its own character, but the levels themselves are random. And the hook with this game is that it's like very Lovecraftian. Like you start out the game, you're in this library, and you have no idea why you're there. And you enter the first level, and it's like Dagon's fortress or something. And like the enemies make really creepy sounds, like they're like, and like you hear like moaning in the background, and you don't know what's making it. And like the atmosphere is so creepy, and you have to like. You have to sneak around, like you could run around and just, you know, attract enemy hate or whatever, and you know, just fight them that way. But like the game really, because you're so afraid of what you might run into, like you're just constantly stealthing around and like peering around corners and looking at enemies. And like when you get to the end of like the first world, this is when the game like really, like with the first really crazy thing you see, like you encounter this black blob that's just covered with eyes and has like a big gaping maw, and you go to shoot it with your gun and you do no damage to it.
Holy shit.
It's so cool. There's like dynamite in the game. So like I grabbed a stick of dynamite and chucked the dynamite at it, and it just did nothing. It blew up the ground around it, but the thing was still there.
Wow.
And like it's super cool. So it's got like this sense of, you know, like, holy fuck, like, you know, I'm powerless to this thing. I have to just sneak around it. Yeah. So you're like constantly kind of in fear, and the environments are really claustrophobic and
okay,
like
so
creepy.
Kind of amnesia ish.
Yeah, I mean it's not quite as powerless as you are in Amnesia, because most enemies can be killed, and you know, you can move quickly around the environment and you can platform and stuff. So it's got a little bit of like Minecraft, a little bit of Spelunky. You know, like I said, you know, semi-destructible environments, you know, with dynamite and stuff. You can also buy an upgrade that lets your gun shoot holes in the environment. You know, a lot of exploration, looking for the exit. So, you know, it's just got like a combination of like all the games that I love, basically, like Spelunky, Binding of Isaac, you know, it's but also it's got this really creepy feel to it. It makes you want to slowly sneak around the levels, and you never quite know what you'll run into next. And like when you hit the second world, there's so much creativity on display, because like you encounter a monster where like you kill it and it dies and it falls over, but then it gets back up again. And it, like, you can never kill it all the way. Or like you like also you run into like a statue, and if you look directly at the statue, like and you turn your head away, it makes a noise. It's like, and like you turn around and the statue's arms are up.
Oh God, it's like Doctor Who.
Yeah, exactly like Doctor Who. I haven't seen it, but that's what they're all comparing it to on the internet. And then like you start running away, and then the thing is attacking you, and you're taking damage, and you turn around and it's right behind you with its arms up.
Oh my God, it's so exactly creepy. Like Doctor Who.
It's so good though. So the only way to get away is you have to keep watching it while you like back away and blind and try to jump away.
You can't navigate where you're going, yeah.
Yeah, it's super cool. And it's just a really fun atmospheric game, and I'm having a great time. I actually just beat it for the first time today, but it's still in beta, so it's not entirely complete yet, but it's coming out, I think, in October.
If somebody wanted to play this, how would they play it?
Right now, you can buy it through the Humble Store. Okay. You just go to eldritchgame.com, but it just got greenlit today, actually. Okay. So it's coming to Steam.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so I believe on October 21st, it should be out on Steam. It might come earlier via early access because it's already available to people who've purchased it now.
Sure. Mouse and keyboard or controller? Or both?
Either or. Mouse and keyboard or Xbox controller. Or I guess eventually Steam controller. but it is a really cool game, and you know, I just beat it, but it's got one of those like Spelunky style like hell levels. Uh-huh. I can tell because like I got in the first level, I found like a holy symbol. And like the flavor text for it was like, this item has no apparent utility. But clearly it's like something that you have to, because I had to go through like a special dungeon to get it. So clearly you have to use it to unlock something later, but I haven't figured that out yet.
Sure.
So it's a cool little game. I'm having a great time with it.
It sounds cool.
Yeah, I really like it.
Is it something I could play on my PC, or is it graphics intensive? Or?
No, it basically looks like Minecraft, except with a lot better art direction.
Oh, okay.
You know, Minecraft is a little bit bland at times. Sure. Even though it is beautiful, but this is on the level of Minecraft in terms of demandingness. Okay.
So like
probably
pixel,
less
pixel.
Yeah. Exactly. Big, chunky, blocky environments.
Nice.
So you could definitely run it. You know, you could probably run it on your integrated graphics laptop. So you could definitely run it on your computer. No sweat.
Nice.
And I would definitely recommend it.
Speaking of pixely, graphics-y, stuffy things, how's Lone Survivor going?
Lone Survivor is amazing. It is such a good game. I love it so much. Really, I haven't gotten to any of the new stuff yet because I guess it's all in New Game Plus. But the experience in general just feels like 8 times more polished. You know, any loose ends or little oddities have been completely tightened up. It's just like such a fun and creepy world to be in. Like there's so much like flavor text and stuff that you can get. Like if you have like an inventory of like, you know, like you have like a cat plush in your inventory and you can look at it and like he'll make observations about it. Or like you can talk to it and he'll be like, "You're my best friend, sleepy cat." It's so good. And there's so much psychological shit going on. Like I just went into the back alley of my apartment and I encountered a creepy white-faced man. It was like, you can't talk to me until we meet for the third time. And he left behind a Coke can with a key inside of it. And I was like, I am playing a horror game.
Oh, man. I thought that might have been real life for a second, but then I was like, yeah, no.
That may have also happened to me in real life.
if a homeless man with white face ever like left you a cocaine with a key in it, I don't think that's something you go back to.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't want to return there. But yeah, I'm really having a great time with it, and I'm actually playing. So the game has this cool little hook where like every action you take is assessed secretly. And you only kind of find out what is being watched after you complete the game. You get like a psych evaluation where they tell you all the shit that you did. Like it'll be like, you know, chuck the plant 8 times.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. And like it'll it'll cast certain decisions in a certain light that maybe you weren't thinking of.
Huh.
So it'll like if you talk to your cat plush too many times, it'll like make a comment in your psych evaluation about how like you're kind of like unstable, or like you're like talking to people who weren't there.
Uh-huh.
It'll record that you did it, but in a kind of judging way.
So it's really like Psychomantis the game.
Yes.
I see you like talking to the cat plush.
Exactly. And you never know what's being assessed. It actually, I listened to an interview with the guy who made it, and he raised a really cool point about that, which is that it actually is an interesting system of morality when you don't know what you're being judged for, because it encourages you to role play positively.
Huh.
Without making like a binary decision, like, oh, like, you know, do I take the Paragon or the Renegade action? It's like, oh, what would like a good person do in this situation? Or like, what would a sane person do? Because a lot of it's about sanity. So like, what would I do if I were trying to improve my mental health? Would I eat this, you know, rat meat, or would I, you know, cook a burger and eat that instead? And like, but the choices are not, it's not like a one or the other. It's not a binary. It's like, Do I do the types of things that will increase my mental health, or do I do the types of things that will decrease my mental health? And one major determinant, in fact, is whether or not you shoot the enemies.
Okay.
So the first time I played, I had a gun and I just killed everything. And of course, I got a bad ending afterwards, because it's like a psychological game where things aren't quite what they seem. Uh-huh. So this time through, I'm playing it trying to be completely pacifist and not shoot my gun at all. So that's creating a lot of really interesting challenges. So that's kind of been what I've been doing in that, and I'm having a really good time with it.
So I guess my only question with that is, like, besides the shooting part of it, if mm-hmm. you're trying to play as a quote-unquote sane person,
yeah,
what is the benefit of playing as a crazy person? Like, by talking to your plushie or by looking at the plan a bunch, what does that afford you that not doing those things would?
I would say that playing as a crazy person is just kind of the easier route. It's the path of least resistance, because you don't have to plan how to get around enemies.
Okay.
Because the thing is, you're playing on a 2D plane. So if you encounter an enemy, it's basically like a barrier. Like, you can't get past it unless you find a way to stealth past it.
Okay.
And sometimes that's not always readily apparent. And if you fuck up and you get cornered, like, the only way out is to shoot your gun. So it's pretty much always easier to take the less sane way of doing it. And the game also presents you with another crutch in the form of drugs, which you can take. You can take red pills, which help you stay awake longer, because uh-huh. if you go for too long, you can get like exhausted and pass out. You can take, I think, blue pills, which give you more ammo for your gun.
No, that's normal. That happens in real life, yeah.
Well, what you do is you take the pill and you go to sleep, and then you have a creepy dream where some cool story elements get delivered to you, and then you wake up and you find more ammo. Oh. And I think you can take a green pill, which gives you like more food or something, or more health maybe.
Huh.
And if you take these pills, that negatively influences your ending as well. So it's definitely a lot harder to be sane, as it would be, you know, when you're trying to survive. But it's a lot harder to keep a handle on things, a lot easier to give in to the temptation to, you know, take the pill that gives you more ammo or gives you whatever.
Sure.
So that's, I think that would be the incentive to be bad.
Yeah.
So it's
like Dishonored.
Yeah, it's a lot like Dishonored, where
you're given ton of tools to play bad,
exactly.
And it's way more fun to do that. However, it becomes a much more interesting and maybe fulfilling experience to play it as the quote unquote good guy or not aggressive person.
Yeah, and I think, honestly, in Lone Survivor, the way that I feel about it, it's the kind of game where you want to see everything, and there's like a lot of shit to see, because like he wrote so many different lines of dialogue depending on your mental state and stuff.
Yeah.
So you kind of want to do the bad ending, and it's kind of made so that like you're going to get the bad ending the first
Very
time
cool.
you play.
Very cool.
So, but then like the second time through, you're like, oh shit, I want to find out like what would happen if I didn't kill everyone. So it incentivizes both endings.
You know what? That reminds me of Jeff.
What's that?
Virtue's Last Reward.
Yeah, tell me about it.
I don't really want to say much more because I don't have anything new to say.
Okay. I'm excited to play that once I finish up Lone Survivor. I think that'll be my next Vita title.
All I have to say about it is I am in the home stretch now, where I have maybe three or four forks left that are kind of like, I've fulfilled them to as far as I can go within the qualifications that I have so far in the game. And it's just going to be a matter of like maybe another 10 hours of pushing through those end parts. But
sounds like a long game.
It's my Vita says I've been playing it for almost 50 hours.
Holy smokes.
But I would maybe, I would probably subtract 10 to 15 off that for just sleep time.
Okay.
And then going back and reading things over again because I fell asleep.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah.
Well, that's great.
It reminds me a lot of what you're saying there, where it's like the multiple paths each are worthwhile going down because they lead to a greater understanding and enjoyment of the game. But like I said before, VLR is aware of that too.
Mm-hmm.
And I just got to the Michael Crichton section of the game where they start explaining all the rules about this crazy part of science where they're like, this may not be crazy what you're going through.
That's cool. Yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really like that. And that's definitely present in Lone Survivor. Like I said, you know, all the new shit is gated behind New Game Plus.
Yeah.
It incentivizes replaying the game. So yeah, that's definitely a nice hook to have. It's like the Chrono Trigger hook.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Which is funny. You mentioned. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, that's for another time. Chrono Trigger.
Oh, I'm excited to hear what it is that other time.
Oh, that's it. I was going to say, so I didn't get Greninja, the final evolution Pokemon for Froakie.
Okay.
But reading online, people said that like Grenouillois, Grenouillous or something, means frog in French.
Yeah, Grenouille means frog. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I looked it up on the boards as well.
Yeah.
I should know that because my dad was born in France. But...
Well, you should know that. And he probably was around a lot of frogs and spelling them out for you. But
yeah,
then...
One of his favorite restaurants is called La Grenouille.
Oh, really? Cool.
Yeah.
The interesting thing that somebody pointed out, because I was not smart enough to think about this, was, hey, what about Chrono Trigger and Glenn being called Glenn and being a frog?
Whoa. Whoa, because it's like Gren.
Right?
Oh, my God.
Right?
Just blew my fucking mind.
Dude, get it together.
Can I tell you something else?
Yes, please.
Ekans? You ready for this?
Oh, shit, no.
It's snake backwards.
No! What about Arbok?
It's cobra with a K.
Get out of here.
Hey, you should tell me, did you play Icarus Bradbottom?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, my God. Did you like it?
I did like it. I only played it for maybe 20 minutes or so.
Okay.
And I died, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, I sucked at typing enough.
Oh, that's too bad.
I did, yeah. And after that, I was like, yeah, I'm going to keep playing Gone Home.
Oh, you went back into Gone Home?
I finished it.
Well, that's right. We haven't even talked about that yet. Tell me about Gone Home. I just noticed it between VLR and
Squeezed
Icarus.
Squeezed in there. Yeah, I played Gone Home, and it was a game. I think I'll wait for Jamie to get on the podcast until I really dig into it, because I feel like the three of us will have a good discussion about it.
Yeah, I think we all kind of fall in different areas on the on the spectrum.
But I'll say that briefly, I enjoyed the experience. I don't think it was a great game, but it was cool. Like, it was a cool thing, and it's fantastic that it exists. And I think it's deserving of the hype that it's getting, but I think that, you know, it's not a whole lot of a video game. it's fascinating for what it does, but it's not for everyone.
I think that's a fair criticism. I think that it is not. It definitely. I mean, it's very clearly lacking, you know, like traditional game shit, like, you know, fighting guys and,
yeah,
you know, some kind of conflict type.
Right. When you mentioned that conflict thing to me when I was thinking about it, and I was like, oh shit, maybe that is kind of. Maybe that is part of why I dislike it or why I'm not in love with it. But, you know, it's I don't think that every game needs conflict. I just think that when it's like bare bones story that has no gates to going through it.
Uh-huh.
Yet, like,
yeah, I mean, it's like, it's not so much, it conflict is like in a very broad sense. It's not conflict like melodrama. It's conflict like you need to clear X to progress. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you need to do this thing.
Right.
You don't have to do a lot of things.
Right. And there was conflict in that definition of like, you need to find these things to progress this way, unless you're just going to wall hump enough to find this thing. and why would you do that? So the conflict was there, you could say, but it wasn't present enough to make it really feel important. And that's what I think kind of shortchanged it for me.
Yeah, you know, it's something that I actually want to compare it to, and I'd see if this resonates for you, is actually, since we both played it, Ghost Trick, which is another game that is very narrative-focused.
Yeah.
But I think that game strikes the perfect balance between kind of gamey sections with a sort of conflict, the type of conflict we're talking about, and just like pure narrative.
Yep.
Like, that's a game that I had such a great time from start to finish. At no point did I feel shortchanged of gameplay moments. You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely.
Whereas in Gone Home, I think the balance was tipped a little bit more in one direction rather than the other. For me, it didn't bother me. I still got enough, but it definitely was less than you get in Ghost Trick, which I think is like one example of like almost the perfect balance.
Yep.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never thought about comparing those two, but yeah, it's very clever. The delivery of story and gameplay for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean that very much falls, you know, almost in the visual novel genre, but it has, you know, it's got enough.
Yeah, and it does remind me a lot of, you know, since VLR is taking up a lot of my time right now, it reminds me of that. But VLR is very like to not say anything about the game,
yeah.
Gone Home or VLR like explicitly, but there's a point in Gone Home where you're going through this area and then you find this new area and you're just right on like the precipice of finishing it. And there's something there that is like, if you've ever played a video game before, this is clearly a puzzle that has meaning. And then you interact with it and you flick it and it does things and it doesn't have any fucking bearing on anything whatsoever. And that's what drove me crazy, where I was like, I'm playing, you know, going from VLR to this, like, this was kind of like the most blatant differentiation between like a game that has like black and white level, you know, conflict design versus a game that doesn't, where it's like, here's a thing in this environment that seems super fucking gamey, but it's not. And then I'm playing a game where it's like, you have no idea what you need to do here, but everything is important. So figure it out. So I'm flicking these fucking bells and I'm like, why? And then I just need to take a step back and like, I think to myself, like, it doesn't matter. Like, these things are unimportant.
Yeah.
Just keep going.
Yeah. I can see that being tough to adjust to. It's you definitely have to approach it in a different way and not want everything to have a value in that way that you're describing.
Yeah.
Because not everything does.
No.
Yeah. But I understand where you're coming from. And I think you've got a valid criticism. I think that, you know, it's always good to temper your positive stuff with a little bit of, you know, healthy criticism. And I think it's a great point that you're making. So.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
I love nuance. I don't want utterly effusive praise. I like a little bit of criticism.
Yeah. And I think the thing, like, one of my biggest hangups that I have with the game, and this is like just my dumb perspective, is just like how West Coast the whole thing is. And that's kind of like one of the parts that just didn't sit with me very well with the entire experience. Like, oh, everybody is whiny and nobody's life is good and run away from and this is this way and all the 90s there's great garages have bands in them and you know everything sucks but my parents are the worst, they're not perfect, and you know, like, like by the end of it I was like, okay, this was made by people who aren't who don't love life.
Yeah, that can always be a little bit insufferable when it's too West Coast, too, you know, yuppie or whatever. I mean, that can definitely be a detriment.
Yeah.
Except for the punk band, which didn't actually bother me that much. I didn't really think it was too blatant about that. Although the alarm bells were definitely sounding when I heard that the game was set in Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Right. Well, I went into it. Yeah. No, go ahead.
I thought that like the story about the dad as the failed novelist, like that didn't feel particularly West Coast to me. That like took them down a peg in my mind.
Down a peg? Okay.
Yeah. I like that, like down a peg in a good way. Like it didn't make them look all West Coast and ridiculous. It made them look more like normal and goofy.
I just didn't like that because it was still West Coast, where it's like the dad was the son of an extremely well regarded and famous college professor novelist and literary cleric who could you know, then criticized his son's work, saying, oh, it's not good enough, and then that trickles down another layer and you're like, oh yes, this is just a fucking soap opera, isn't it?
I just thought it was funny that he was writing books about time travelers saving JFK, but now that you say that, I understand what you're getting at.
I really enjoyed that nuance part of it, where it was like you would learn about these people in not a direct way, where it's like, and dad wrote books about JFK conspiracy theory action heroes, and you're like, no, you found that up because you found books in his house that had a sticky note attached to it that said like first run of my first published novel, and then you found the second run of it with like a note that was shoved in it that said like, sorry, we're discontinuing it because this sucks.
And you found his porn magazines.
Yes, I took a screen capture of that. Yeah.
I think one of the best compliments you could give the game is that, like, you like, as Jamie was saying when he first talked about it, like clearly they were on like a budget. Like they didn't have the money to make characters, but you wouldn't, when you played the game, you wouldn't know that because they did something which I love, which is they worked within limitations that they clearly were facing so well. You know what I mean? Like you don't really feel the absence of characters too much because you've got so much shit to flesh out the world. But like, I think that's one of the best compliments I could give it, which is that like, as I said, like, you know, there's so much shit that's like giving the world character. You feel the presence of the people there, even though they're not there and they didn't spend the money to render them and animate them and stuff. So, I mean, that's great. And also just, you know, the subject matter obviously is something that you don't hear too much about in games, which is pretty
cool. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think that you're right. The subject matter, for better or worse, is something that you need to appreciate. Like,
yeah.
It's very West Coast.
It is, but at the same time, I mean, you know,
But it's also done really well, and it's just so West Coast. Like, it's anybody who's played games and anybody who, you know, has lived a life that has ever existed in any time frame where they felt excluded or conflicted or anything. And you know, it has that hipster vibe of like, I want to go on this adventure in somebody's house and learn what they like by reading their shit.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. It's definitely, as you said, West Coast, but there is some core of like universality in there.
Oh, absolutely,
There is something that makes it so that we can appreciate it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
As gamers who have felt excluded, you know, here's this other, you know, it's got some value. So it's definitely meaningful. It's definitely not perfect, and nothing is, but it's definitely worth playing.
Right. Yeah. It is worth playing for sure. I also played Grand Theft Auto 5. I will just say really quickly, I played it with Hunter for like 4 hours, where we just and I had the best experience playing a Grand Theft Auto game / a video game in a long time, where we just sat on the couch and we just passed the controller back and forth, like doing dumb crap, like jumping off ramps, hijacking planes, jumping off mountains, like getting in firefights, trading back and forth like old school couch co-op style, having an awesome, amazing time. And it was like, it totally brought me back to that mentality of like, this is what GTA is. Like, this is, fuck the story, fuck everything that is about Grand Theft Auto that it is becoming now. Because when we just sat down here and we're like, we're gonna break into this freaking airport and we're gonna drive this Mustang through these stupid walls and then hijack this plane while helicopters are shooting at us, and fly into this skyscraper because we're trying to land on it. And like that was our day, and it was so much fun to just do that and have that experience and not have any like not have any obligation to play through the story to like judge the game on that merit, but just to kind of like approach it from, yo, let's go have some fun in this sandbox. And we totally did.
That was always my favorite thing to do in GTA, and I'm really glad that you were able to have a good time with that element of it.
And then I went back and I played another couple hours with it, and I played through the heist mission, which was awesome. Like the heists where you build your team, you select your strategy as how you want to approach it. You're interacting with everything along the way. You're doing missions to set up for that heist, and then you're escaping from it, which is really cinematic and fun, but you're engaged in it. And then it switched to like, now you're done with that. And it just felt super flat where I'm like, oh, well, fuck my stupidness now, because this is dumb. Like, I got to go kill these guys, and I got to watch this psycho drug lord dude beat the fuck out of somebody else, and everybody's crazy, and everybody's dumb, and everybody's a caricature. So I'm done with that game now, but I totally understand that let's go have fun Grand Theft Auto mentality, and I totally think that the mission design of the big parts of like you build up to this Ocean's 11 heist is super cool, but then everything else that isn't those two things is dumb.
Yeah, that's kind of how it looked to me when I was looking at it. I've always liked, you know, just driving around and being an asshole in GTA. That's the thing that is fun for me when I play those games.
Yep.
And they seem to move farther and farther away from that.
And
which
I
is
know
weird.
I know I talked about this last week, but playing as these characters, nobody is redeemable. Nobody. So it's really hard to play as them. Like, I don't want to see their story conclude because nothing good will come of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want characters on my GTA. Like, you can't not. I think you're raising a good point. Like, you can't justify the shit you do in GTA ever. Like, even a psychopath probably wouldn't do that stuff. Why bother with characterization in a game where you do horrible things?
Well,
just make them like non-characters.
Saints Row does. They do it. They do that the best way, where they say your main character is a non-character. He is a sociopath, psychopath, crazy person, where he just loves wanton destruction and craziness, and it is to raise the elevation of his awareness and his gang's awareness, and he's like gonna drop the matchbook with his gang symbol on it after he blows up this building. And then in Saints Row you do that, or in Grand Theft Auto you do that, and then the guy goes back home to his family, and you're like and then they're like, well, now is family life okay, or is it dissonant? And you're like, well, what the fuck, like, really? You just murdered a million people.
Yeah, I could do without that. I could do with all, like, I had a good time with Chinatown Wars actually for the DS, because it's like, just have fun. Don't worry about the story. Just have fun.
Yeah.
What I want to do.
It's become like the Call of Duty single player multiplayer campaigns, where it's like you can, the single player campaigns are actually pretty fucking interesting to you know, to some extent, and the multiplayer becomes its own thing that is completely, you know, subtracted and has no association with gameplay whatsoever. So it's like that with Grand Theft Auto, where it's like you can go and have tons of fun in this world and it's amazing, and then you can also play through the story and it's really uncomfortable and weird, but just inversed from the previous game.
Yeah, exactly. The other thing, which we haven't even talked about, GTA Online. You got to try it before you send it back.
Yeah, I will. It'll probably be the one thing I'm going to do before I send it back. But I hear
counting on your review.
A lot of issues. Yeah.
Yeah, it's apparently it's hard to even get in. But microtransactions.
Yay! Buy guns with money.
Money.
Meow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jeff, so you it sounds talk like about some Spelunky before we sign off?
Sure. I'll quickly talk about it. It may not make any sense to you because it sounds like you only got to the ice caves, right?
Yep.
Do you know about like the crazy voodoo magic you have to do to get to hell and fight the secret boss?
Nope.
Okay. Do you know about the Moe head?
No.
Okay. I'm going to give you a little summary.
Okay.
Well, rather than get into the specifics, I'm just going to tell you that I'm trying to break Spelunky.
Oh, cool.
There are a number of people on the internet right now, some of whom I am aware of, who have discovered a glitch in Spelunky, and I'm currently trying to capitalize on it, and it's super fun.
If anybody can do it, it's you.
It involves angering the goddess in the game that you sacrifice people to.
Yeah.
So if you put a bomb on her altar instead of like a dog or a damsel, spiders come pouring out. If you do that twice, then she attaches a ball and chain to your body.
Oh,
and it's so cool. So the ball and chain will like drag you down pits if you drop it off the edge, and like it has like its own crazy physics and stuff, and it can destroy the environment.
Oh, fascinating!
And like you can't run with it and stuff. It's all these restrictions. But people discovered that if you use the ball and chain, you can destroy parts in the environment that you ordinarily wouldn't be able to destroy.
Oh, shit.
So there's this side quest where you have to like collect a special item that revives you after you die.
Uh-huh.
And then like when you get to the ice caves, you throw yourself off a cliff and you revive inside of like this special statue.
Uh-huh.
But people found a way to use the ball and chain to break the statue open.
Oh.
So you can get around. The trick is that you can bring an item into the statue after you die.
Huh.
So that they're like breaking the game that way. So that's sort of what I've been messing around with. I actually got to break the statue once, but I haven't brought the item in there yet.
Oh,
but it's
cool.
Super fun.
Very cool.
The thing about those games, they have such amazing legs. Like it's like Binding of Isaac, which I know you haven't played yet, but you can just play them for hours. They're so much fun.
Yeah.
I love roguelikes.
Yes.
Yeah, I know that you're not quite as into them.
Correct.
Yeah. They're super fun. But that's
fun.
What I'm doing.
I had a great time with Spelunky when I played it.
Yeah, that's a great game. That is a game that like transcends all kinds of things. Everyone just freaking loves that game.
Yeah. It's like the Pokemon for people who like fun.
Yes. It's like the poster child for indies being awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we'll end it here though, because there's not much else to talk about.
Yeah, we had a nice little run.
This is a lot bigger than I expected, thanks to Pokemon and your extensive Nintendo coverage.
Yes, my unbridled fanboy enthusiasm.
Oh yes, please, more, please.
I'll be giving you those 2DS impressions.
Oh God, yes. Anyway, we're gonna end this episode 126 of Boss Barrel. Thanks, Jeff.
No problem.
Look forward to podcasts next week for more video game information that you want to hear about, combined with our random humorous thoughts and obscure references to garbage.
Got to amp those up next week.
Yes.
We should release a companion app
of just a flaming pile of garbage.
No, with like all of the references that we make.
Oh, okay.
Companion app.
Okay. Yeah.
I think we need a second screen experience.
Exactly. Yeah. We need Google Translate to be pumping out like keywords that we say.
I think my new life rule is if Game of Thrones does it, we have to. So we need a companion app.
More baby dragons and girls' butts.
Yeah, we need more nudity.
I'm already there.
All right. On that note.
Well, good episode, and we'll see you next week.
All right. Bye.
Bye.